Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I want to get into the Word tonight, church. You have just a few moments to do so. But I'm grateful always for the opportunities to be able to just minister from the Word. And thankful for just this time of the year, amen, and grateful for the opportunities that we see before us to continue to shine the light of Christ in this time that we're living in, amen. I believe, church, that we should be awaiting a coming Messiah, amen. We should be awaiting the return of the Lord. And so, you know, I want to ask a few questions tonight, but how many of you have ever thought that you were ready to receive a blessing from God? Has anybody ever thought that you're ready to receive a blessing from God? Raise your hand. Amen. But how many of you, you know, in thinking that you were ready to receive a blessing from the Lord, only for the Lord to put you through the test of waiting? Has that happened to any one of us? You're like, Lord, I'm ready. Whatever you have for me, Jesus, I'm ready. It's today. Sign me up. I'll go across the world for you, Jesus. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll say this, I'll go there, Lord. Just pour out the blessing. And sometimes we think we're more ready than we actually are. And then God's like, hey, you know what? Maybe you think you're ready, but we're going to see. We're going to find out. We're going to allow time to pass just for a little bit to see how ready you actually think you are. And so sometimes we think that we're more ready than God sees fit in our life. And there's a process that will come where we actually have to wait on the Lord. Amen? How many of you are waiting on the Lord? You see, it could be for different reasons. We all should be waiting on the return of the Lord. Amen? First and foremost. But how many of you know that, you know, until that day comes, there may be other things that you are waiting for here and now. There may be, you know, prayers. There may be promises. There may be, you know, prophetic, you know, just things that have been spoken over your life that you're waiting to see that they will actually come to pass. And so we're waiting on the Lord. I know in my lifetime, there's been a lot of times where I've waited on the Lord. It's been a lot of times over the course of me knowing the Lord and having a relationship with God where I have found myself waiting for Him, found myself waiting for Him to speak, found myself waiting for Him to shift a season, if you will, or found myself waiting for a promise, a hope, a dream. It's not uncommon, church, to wait on the Lord. In fact, the scripture will teach us, and we'll see more about this as we go along, that the scripture will teach us to wait on the Lord. Amen? The scripture will show us that waiting on the Lord a lot of times is a must in our relationship with the Lord. But when someone promises us something wonderful, how many of you are like me? We could hardly wait for it to be fulfilled. Amen? If you've ever received a promise, maybe it's from a parent, a loved one, spouse or something, and they promised you something, and you're like, okay, you know, you're ready for it, and there's this anticipation that builds up until the day comes. Whether it was, hey, you know, I remember, you know, Mandy and I, when we were young in our kind of dating phase, if you will, there was a point in our relationship where we knew we wanted to marry one another. And so it was kind of like, okay, well, we sort of made this promise with one another that one day that was going to come to pass. But as a young man, it was like, hey, you know, I was a 20-year-old that knew that I wanted to marry this girl and I wanted to be with her the rest of my life, but it would be another 5 years until we actually got married. So there was an anticipation and waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. If the promise is something good, how many of you know we want it now? Amen? If the promise is something good, you know, you're just like me. You want it now. How many of you have ever, you know, had your parents or you know, again, you know, a husband, wife, somebody spoil your Christmas gift? They tell you in advance, right? You know, they tell you it's like whatever today is, December 3rd. And they're like, hey, well, you might see the box in the garage, you know, and I got you this. And then you're like, oh, you know, after they tell you, the first thing you start thinking of is like, well, give it to me. No, you got to wait till Christmas. Nah, man, I don't want to wait till Christmas. If you already got it and you already told me, I already know what it is. Just let me have it, right? And so, again, if the promise is something good, you and I want it now. We really don't like to wait. But yet the truth, church, is the very best things are worth waiting for. Amen? The very best things that you will receive in this life and in this world are worth waiting for. A long, long time ago, the Lord made a promise to his people, Israel. In fact, the Lord had made many promises to them. But the most important promise, and the promise that all his other promises were going to depend on, was that he would send the Messiah. He would send the Anointed One. He would send his promised Son who would save them from sin and this world that is broken by sin and would give them redemption of life. Amen? And the Messiah wasn't going to be this ordinary person, but he was going to be God's own Son. The people that he made a promise to, though, had to wait, church, putting all of their faith in the one who made the promise. I believe that waiting is a huge part of our walking with God. Waiting is a huge part of our faith and development of our faith and our belief and our trust in the Lord. Amen? And so tonight I want to speak to you about waiting for the Messiah. If you would, just bow your heads with me as we pray for this message. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, Jesus. And God, we give you honor tonight. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would minister to us. God, just, Lord, open every heart, God, every ear, Father, to receive of your truth tonight. And I pray, Father, that we would receive what you want to share with us. And so, Holy Spirit, the pulpit is yours. Let your word just speak to us in a beautiful way tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen. And so in the Old Testament, church, there were many prophecies that were given regarding the Messiah, regarding the awaited Messiah. And one of those promises we read in Isaiah chapter 7, and so if you have your Bibles, Isaiah 7 and 14 says this. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. It says, and the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So in Isaiah 7, 14, we see, it says, the Lord will give you this sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That truth, church, that truth that was spoken, it points to God giving the promise of his arriving son. That one day his son was going to walk on the face of this planet, was going to live in the shoes and in the life of men so that he could redeem men back to God. Amen? And so the scripture was pointing to the eventual arrival of Jesus. It was told, you know, and we'll get into that in a minute, but it was told about 700 years before the arrival of Jesus. Some of y'all won't wait 7 minutes for a coffee at Starbucks without getting fussy. 700 years before Jesus was here, the promise was given. It's a long time. It's a really long time. Had an interesting conversation with my wife the other day, and we were talking about a person that we know and love, and you know, we're just talking about how, you know, they've gone through a situation where they've been waiting for just like that promise, waiting for that prayer to be answered, and it was kind of interesting because, you know, we, you know, in the conversation, I my wife said something to the effect of almost as like a, not blaming God, but saying like, you know, why would God kind of like allow this? And I said, I think the real question is why can't he? He's God. And I quickly remembered the story of Abraham and Sarah and quickly remembered the timeline that they had to wait. And I said, you know, when we're comparing apples to apples, you know, we see it as, okay, well, maybe it's 5, 6, 7 years for this individual, But for Abraham and Sarah, it was a lifetime. God was like 100, you know, by the time his son came. He was well up in age. And so we see, church, that waiting is something that's going to have to happen in the life of a believer. But how many of you know the true test of faith is found in how you wait? The true test of our faith in God is found in how you and I wait. Many times I've seen the Lord reveal things in my heart over the course of a period of waiting. Because at first, like I said, when the promise is given, at first when somebody is declaring, hey, this is going to happen in your life and God's going to fulfill this in your life, the first thing that every single one of us is ready to receive that and say, oh, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I'm here. You know, I'm all about what you want me to be, Lord. And then the waiting begins. Now, we're all pretty easy to assess ourselves and say, well, I'm ready, Lord. Come on, just trust me with it, God. I'm ready, Lord. Just hand it over, God. I promise I'm gonna be faithful. I'm gonna steward it well, God. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. And as time goes by, as the clock ticks, as the calendar goes page to page, as the years go by, we really find out, church, if we trust in God. We really find out if we believe in the Lord. And over time, what happens, church, is the Lord will reveal things in your heart, maybe fractures in your dependency of him that can only be found out over the time of waiting. Because listen, waiting brings to the surface our weaknesses while he works. Waiting will always bring to the surface those weaknesses in your life while God is working on you. And sometimes it's like, man, Lord, but how long? If I prophesied over you today that you'd win $1 million tomorrow, everybody would say, yes, Lord. And all the people said, amen, right? If it was like, oh, yeah, I prophesied today that you're going to be a millionaire, I guarantee you're going to be the loudest one shouting in the church. Oh, yes, Jesus. I'm ready to receive my blessing. If I prophesy that you're going to be some kind of billionaire or what have you, you know, you'd promise to tithe and give to the poor. You'd promise to bless your enemies and all kinds of stuff would happen. You'd even buy your pastor stuff for Christmas or whatever. But think about it. Listen. But what about the second day after the prophecy was spoken? Or what about the 20th day after the prophecy was spoken? Or what about the 200th day after the prophecy was spoken? Or what about the 2000th day after the prophecy was spoken? Where would your faith be by that time? Where would your faith be? And over in Scripture, church, we see God's people, they're happy and they're victorious and they're blessed one moment only to have to wait on the Lord for their next meal, and all of a sudden the cheers turn to complaining. God says he's going to provide, and there's a period of waiting, and all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I don't know if God's going to come through. I don't know if God's actually going to show up this time. And so what happens is the promises turn into pity parties, or the waiting turns into wailing. A lot of times people throughout Scripture, they find themselves going from waiting on him to whining about him. Has that ever happened to anybody? Take a little time and all of a sudden it's like the waiting and the worship sometimes can turn into wailing and whining. Well, I don't know anymore. I've heard people that, you know, have a call maybe to serve God in a high capacity, and they'll, over a period of time, as time goes by, all of a sudden their belief in what God has promised to do in their life begins to waver, and they begin to have disbelief that God's going to fulfill what he said he was going to do. But how many of you know what the book of Romans declares over our life? What does it say? That he will what? He will complete what he has started in you. Amen? He will complete what he has started in you. And I want to kind of take that into consideration. And I want us to hold on to that, because the prophet Jeremiah, church, that uttered this prophetic truth about the arrival of God's son in that book, in that scripture that we just read, he was no different. He was no different, church, in the sense that God had placed a great call upon his life. God had spoken things over his life, but guess what? He now found himself in despair. He now found himself going through things in life. And in that passage that we read about him, we see him complaining now of this hard task. And there's this scripture that we're going to read in a second, but we see that Jeremiah finally gets to this place from where he was once operating in the prophetic to finding himself in this place where he's like bothered by the fact that God has placed this high call on his life and this high demand on his life. And God was filling his mouth with prophetic things that needed to be spoken out to the people of God that, guess what, he wanted to relent from. How many of you know when God asks you to do something, it's probably a good idea to do it? Amen? And no matter what the task is, or no matter what comes with the task, we need to be faithful to the one who's faithful to us. But God was filling Jeremiah's mouth with hard truths that needed to be spoken to the people of God. But guess what it did for Jeremiah? It exposed him to their rage against him. All of a sudden, people began to rise up against Jeremiah and say, "Who are you?" They began to persecute him. They began to speak against him. And so we catch up in Jeremiah 15 and verse 18. And this is the same guy that declared the arrival of the Son of God. He is now saying this: "Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable?" He says, "You are to me like a deceptive brook and like a spring that fails." Jeremiah, the prophet? Jeremiah, the one who God was using to declare truths for generations to come, is finding himself in despair, is finding himself saying, "Why is my pain perpetual? That it seems like it's forever?" That Jeremiah? Yes. Look what he says at the end of that verse. It says here, he says, "You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails." When I read that, I know that Jeremiah trusted God. Amen? I know that Jeremiah relied on the Lord. I know that Jeremiah knew who his God and his Savior was. I know Jeremiah believed the words that God would put in his mouth about God. But Jeremiah at this point was like, "God, why have you not yet removed this crisis? Why does it seem as if your spring, your water, the life that you've given me has failed?" There's times when Jeremiah has seemed that he is going through this unending pain and feared that God has left him or God may not be faithful to him. And he's describing this as an unreliable stream. And this was a genuine challenge, church, to Jeremiah's faith in the goodness of God and in God's power. Because here's the deal. Waiting for the Messiah, church, isn't as much about what he can do or when he will do it, but it is as much as it is about your faith wavering in the waiting. See, that's the point here. That's the lesson here. In that moment, church, it was the same man who a time before had prophesied in Jeremiah 2 and 13. He said, "My people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You see, there was a time where Jeremiah actually believed that God was the living water for him. There was a time that Jeremiah believed this over his life, that he was Yahweh. He was the fountain of living water. But now Jeremiah is saying, it seems like these waters have failed me. And in that distraught state, in that state of confusion, in that state of bitterness, Jeremiah is charging the Lord with failure to fulfill the promises to strengthen him in his own resistance against his enemies. This is how far Jeremiah had got, all because what? He had to wait. All because the waiting got a little bit too long that it began to expose Jeremiah's real trust in God. And I want to just leave you with this thought tonight. Whatever God has allowed you to wait for in life, church, do not let it make you turn against God, but allow it to make you turn to God. Say, but Pastor Duke, you don't know how long I've been waiting. Do you think our problems affect the timeline of God? Absolutely not. Do you think the circumstances that you and I go through day in and day out affect God in some kind of way, as if God has to feel hurried to come to our rescue? Absolutely not, church. Jeremiah's length of enduring faith finally had showed its end, because he got to that point where all of a sudden it seemed as though God may be against him, or God was fighting against him. A lot of people, church, like I said in the beginning, have faith in God until they have to wait. You have faith in the Lord until you have to wait. Like I said, that prophetic promise of Isaiah 7:14 was given almost 700 years, church, before the arrival of Christ. Do you know how many days that is? I did the math. It's 255,500 days, approximately. That's a long time to wait. Do you know that generations of believers that heard that prophetic utterance that Jeremiah had spoke had heard it and died off, and had kids, and they died off, and their kids died off? 700 years, church. How many generations had come and gone living and believing a promise but not seeing it fulfilled? And we've got to wait on him. And we've got to trust in him. You know, we live in what we call a microwave society, which is, we want to push a button and get everything like that. We want to push a button and we want, you know, the coffee to be made already. We want to push a button and we want to have this, we want to have that. And I believe, church, that waiting is such an important part of our growth in him. Waiting is an important part of our development of faith in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 37 says this. This is the hall of faith, if you've never read this chapter, but I encourage you to read it. But verse 37 says of these people that they were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. It says the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And it says that these were all commended for their faith, yet not one of them received what had been promised. These were people that believed despite receiving. They were people that continued to believe. And I love that scripture. I believe it's in the book of John that talks about how blessed are those who believe and have not yet seen him. You see, we fall into that category. I haven't seen, I didn't get to see the hands and feet of Jesus like Thomas did. I didn't get to witness the resurrection of Jesus like many of the disciples and the early believers did in the flesh. But I believe. And you believe. Amen? And the real question tonight is this, church, is even if God has you in a season in waiting, a season of waiting, will your faith in him waver? Will your faith in the Lord waver? And I want to encourage someone tonight, and I want to tell you that, listen, the Messiah never messes up. Amen? The Messiah never messes up. He never is going to get it wrong. It's never going to be like, oh man, sorry, it slipped my mind. I've had a lot of people, you know, that, you know, they may tell you something, hey, I'll do this or I'll promise that or whatever, and then they forget. And it slips their mind, and maybe, you know, they don't do it, you know, intentionally to hurt or harm, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, sorry, I forgot about that. But for the guy that's waiting, for the individual that's waiting on that promise, that's waiting on that to be fulfilled in their life, despair can set in. Worry could set in. Anxiety could set in. And the Lord wants to remind each and every one of us that though some of you may be waiting on something, waiting on a promise, waiting on some kind of deliverance or just something from the Lord, that word Messiah means divinely chosen, anointed one. I want to remind you that the one you need to be waiting for is not the answer that you want. It's not the thing that you hope you will be given. It's the one who was given for the sins of the world, and his name is Jesus. You see, the person of Jesus is the answer to any problem you will ever face in this world. Amen? The person of the Lord is the answer to all the things that you could ever desire in this world. Oh, but Pastor Duke, the Lord knows that I need this. You need Jesus. Amen? Oh, but Pastor Duke, you know what? I need this and I need that. No, we need Jesus. Amen? The answer's always been him. The answer's always been simple. When you wait for man or you wait for men to operate in some kind of way, you will get manufactured results. Amen? When you wait in the things that you could achieve in this world or the things that you could strive for or work for in this world, you will always get some kind of manufactured blessing for yourself, church. But when you wait for Jesus, you get the greater glory. Amen? It's okay to get paid in this world. It's okay to receive nice things. It's okay to receive promises from people that say they're going to do something for you. But guess what? The best promise is to receive him. The best promise to be waiting for is to wait on the Lord. In that story of Mary and Martha, some of you may remember this story, but their brother Lazarus, who was a good friend of Jesus, he had passed away. He had died. Now, when we remember this story, the scripture tells us at hearing the news of his good friend's death, he declares this in John chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, when he hears about this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. He said, no, it is for God's glory so that God's son may be glorified through it. Now, I want to stop there just for a second. Sometimes the things that you are praying for, God will not give you because guess what? You may take more credit for it and not give him the glory. Amen. You may think that somehow it was up to your ability, it was up to your striving, it was up to your performance, it was up to you having something to do with it, that you made it happen. And God's saying, hang on a second. This ain't gonna end in death. It's for God's glory and what? It's also so that God's son may be glorified through it. Sometimes God knows that we're not ready to receive something based on how much we measure and give the glory to him. I believe that there's times where, you know, as parents, we can want to bless our kids. And sometimes maybe we make the mistake of blessing our kids prematurely. I like to tell my girls, you know, and I'm just a big softie at the end of the day. I try to be, you know, tough. I'm not really that tough. I got two girls and they just make me melt all the time. But there's times where I'll be like, hey, you know what? You want that? That's fine. You know, dad's going to try to make that happen. But, you know, I need to see the next report card or I need to see this and that, right? Like, you know, there's goals. There's things that I want them to achieve. And then, like, you know, 2 minutes later, I'm ordering it online. I'm like, you know, I love you, babe. You know, here you go. You know, I just want to give you the world. Now, that may not be the best approach as a father because, listen, there's times where, you know what, that's not going to teach them anything. That's not going to teach them to wait for something. That's not going to teach them the things that need to be done. And guess what? If they get that gift prematurely, then maybe all of a sudden they may not be as grateful for it had they waited. Amen. If I just get them the gift prematurely and all of a sudden they're like, oh, that's cool. And it doesn't have the same effect. I remember Audrey when she was little, I don't know, she was like six, maybe five. She had wanted this, like, I don't know, princess doll playhouse thing, whatever it's called, I don't even know. And it was, I guess, on her, like, little birthday list. She had wanted it for a while, and, you know, I couldn't afford it. I was like, nah, nope, that's out of my range. Well, thank God for a honey, her grandpa. And for her birthday, you know, we had got the thing, and he got it for her. And it was so crazy because I know she had really wanted it. She waited a while, and she came downstairs, and we had it there in the living room. And we were FaceTiming, you know, Pastor, because he was at home or somewhere. And when Audrey saw it, she, like, her little jaw hit the ground, and she just, like, started, like, crying, like, emotionally for this gift because she had waited so long for it. And we're like, do you love it, Mama? And she's like, yeah. And she just started crying, and I was like, wow, man, I never seen my kid cry over a gift. But she was genuinely that thankful. She was really, really that thankful, that moved in her heart. And sometimes, church, the Lord is allowing you to wait for something so that there can be that genuine move of gratitude and glory that flows from your lips to his name. That says, God, I wasn't about this. I didn't make this happen, God. It's all you. And in that story, Mary and Martha, after Jesus says this, after he declares that this man's life would not end in death, and he said it's for God's glory so that God's son would be glorified through it, not many people at that time, you know, would want Jesus to rush to his aid, or people would want that. Like, in that moment, they would want him to be like, okay, you said that he's not going to die, but, like, Jesus, can you hurry up and go? Can you hurry up and, like, you know, take care of it because he died and, you know, all those kinds of things. And I think for you and I, when we have those kind of dire situations that we go through, it's almost as if we demand that God hurry up. It's almost as if we demand, like, okay, Lord, you know, speed this up because I need you to come through. There's a timeline, God, like this person may not make it, or in this case, this person is already dead, and we're praying for God in prayer to change that season. I'm sure that Mary and Martha wanted to hurry up the Lord. Amen. I'm sure that Mary and Martha wanted to hurry him so that he could make it back to resurrect their brother in time. But how many of you know, church, that resurrections only happen on God's timing? See, resurrections are only going to happen on the timing of God. And for you and I, our responsibility is to what? Is to wait in faith. Our responsibility is to wait in faith. And so after several days of grieving for their lost brother, Lazarus, Jesus finally arrives on the scene, and we read this in verse 21. So she says, Lord, Martha says to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She says, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. I know that even now, God will give you whatever you asked. When I read that, this is what I pictured. How many of you have ever lost a loved one? It's not easy. It's not easy. There's grieving that happens, emotional attachment, memories. And they were grieving for their brother for the past 4 days. They were in the physical presence of a dead body. They saw this lifeless man next to them. And after encountering Jesus, she goes on to say, I know that even now, God would give you whatever you ask. And my thought was this: how many of you could be in the presence of a dead, lifeless situation and still have faith enough to say, I know that even now, God would give you whatever you ask? But Pastor Duke, it was only 4 days, and it was a dead body. I've been going through this for 4 years. I've been going through this for 10 years. Well, I'm here to tell you, church, that he only needed 3 days to raise his son back to life. See, God can do more in a moment than you and I could ever do in a lifetime of worry. Amen. God could do more in a moment, church, if we would just believe in him, church. But the key is to not waver in the waiting. The key is to not give up hope. The key is to not say, hey, you know what? I don't have faith in him anymore. I can't believe in him anymore. I'm struggling with this, God. The key is to continue waiting on the Lord. Psalms 27 and 14 says this, wait for the Lord. What does it say? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Wait. But I'm tired of waiting. Wait. Isaiah 40 and 27 says this. He says, why do you complain, Jacob? He says, why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by my God? Has anyone ever felt like their cause has been disregarded by the Lord? That means that maybe the petition you had, that thing that you've been praying for, it's almost as if God has just put it on the back burner. It's on his office desk and it's under everybody's stack of things and petitions that they have and need. He says, my cause is disregarded by my God. Verse 28, he says, do you not know? And have you not heard? He says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. What does it say? He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding, it says, no one can fathom. It says, he gives strength to the weary and it increases the power of the weak. It says, even youths grow tired and weary and young men will stumble and fall. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will what? They will renew their strength. It says, they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and what? Not be faint. Did you know, church, that God isn't the one who gets tired in the waiting? We do. God is not the one that's going to get tired or weary in the waiting. He's not getting weary while you and I get weak. He is our increase. Amen. He is our portion. He is our strength. He is our power, church. He is the one who enables us to get the second wind in the waiting. How many of you know what a second wind is? Yeah, some of y'all may know that. That term is kind of like a term that's used in competition. And if you could picture like a runner, or you could picture people that were running in a race, you know, maybe that first lap, they're going to go nice and strong. And then that second lap, they're going to carry on. They're going to be, you know, still just as strong, but maybe they got 10 laps to go. And it's somewhere around the fifth or sixth or seventh lap where all of a sudden they start, it gets a little more strenuous. It gets a little bit heavier. It gets a little bit harder. And in that portion, church, one of two things is going to happen. They will either listen to their body and all of a sudden they will cave under the pressure of their weariness and their tiredness, or that second wind will kick in and all of a sudden they're going to break and they're going to continue on strong to the finish line. Did you know, church, that the Holy Spirit will give you a second wind in the waiting if you would just trust in him? It says he will renew your strength. How many of you need your strength to be renewed? Amen. I know I need my strength to be renewed. Oh, but you're a pastor. You got everything good for you. Yeah, I wish. It's not a complaint, but you have no idea what I go through sometimes. You have no idea sometimes how heavy things could be. Saw a funny thing today, and it was a guy, and he was explaining the different roles of a pastor. And he brings out a staff. He said, well, this is for shepherding the sheep. Sometimes you are shepherding the sheep. And then he brings out, you know, a sword. He says, other times you're defending the sheep. And then he brings out, you know, a fishing rod. Other times you are evangelizing, you know, for new sheep. And then he brings out a big tennis racket. He said, and other times you're serving the sheep, you know. And he was giving all these, like, little different things that he was illustrating. And the last one that he pulls out was, like, this giant shovel. And he says, but most of the time, you're just scooping poop. He says, in other words, you're dealing with other people's problems. And I thought that was kind of funny because I related to it. I was like, Lord, When's anybody going to deal with my problems? But I'm grateful that I have a shepherd. I'm grateful that I have the Messiah. I'm grateful that I have King Jesus, that whenever I need anything, I just call upon his name, church, and I find the renewal of strength that my heart and my life needs to keep going on. Only Jesus can do that. When it feels like you give up on him, he will strengthen you. When it feels like the promise is going to fail, he reassures you. Can I tell you, church, that he is always worth the wait? Amen? There's a lot of things in this life and in this world that will test your patience. The line at Walmart, right? The waiting for a package or waiting for some kind of answered prayer. But the Lord, church, is always worth waiting on. Because for those who wait on him, the Bible says this, Isaiah 25 and 9, as I finish, it says this, in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.